Good evening. Welcome to part two of Hilchos Bishul. Welcome to all the new people who joined us this evening. And of course, welcome back to people who've been here before. Tonight's shiur and the next this series of shiurim is dedicated to Le'ilui Nishmas Yonatan David ben Alexander Shimon Rogowski, who, even though he began learning later in his years, he took advantage of the learning opportunities that he had and the years that he had, and he came to love Torah very much, and this shiurim are dedicated to Le'ilui Nishmaso. So we should all have in mind that our learning is an Ili for his neshama. Last week we began learning Hilchos Bishul. We tried to define what Bishul means. What does it mean to cook? We saw it doesn't just mean cooking, because it applies to melting metals, it applies to placing earthenware in a kiln, firing something in a kiln. So we said it means, the Rambam's word, we're changing something hot, I'm sorry, changing something soft to hard or hard to soft through heat. That was the Rambam's definition. Then we switched over to talk about one of the two main foundations in Hilchos Bishul, which is defining Yad Soleh Dispo. And we saw that even though the word Yad Soleh Dispo means that your hands will pull out of fear or will recoil or withdraw because of the heat, we saw that it was actually a very long discussion and it wasn't as simple as it seemed. We had different proofs. One proof was from the fact that the neck of an animal that's shechted is considered cold, and therefore if you do the experimentation based on an animal who has a fever, and if you measure the temperature, it ends up that Yad Soleh Dispo could be as low as 110, 115 degrees, and it went up to 160 degrees to be on the Machmir side. That was last week. Additionally, last week we talked about not burning yourself in a bath. A normal bath is only 101 degrees. A hot bath is 104 degrees, 105 degrees, and we said Yad Soleh Dispo is just a little bit more than that. 110 degrees, that's pretty cool, meaning not so hot. Then we talked about the halacha that food that is edible raw might not be subject to the prohibitions of Bishul, and therefore fruits, vegetables that can be eaten raw will not be subject to the halachas of Bishul. However, the Mishnah Berurah pointed out a chumrah that if it's something that will improve, like a baked apple, even though you could eat an apple raw, but a baked apple improves, and therefore that would be considered problematic. Now we're going to begin the following discussion, which we started at the very end of last week, and now I'll be able to get into it, and that is the story of croutons in your soup, which we started, and now we're going to get a little bit more in depth and to decide that there are different kinds of croutons, not different kinds of soup, but different kinds of croutons. So we find in the Shulchan Aruch, all these halachas in the Shulchan Aruch are all in Orach Chaim 318, Shin Yud Ches, that's where Hilchos Bishul is. Everything we're talking about tonight, anytime I say the Shulchan Aruch, it's all 318, Shin Yud Ches. So the Shulchan Aruch says that something that is cooked, well, it's cooked. So you can't do any more cooking to something that's cooked, right? You can't kill a dead cat, it's dead. So you can't cook a cooked matzah ball. So therefore, once it's boiled already, you're allowed to put it back in hot water. Now, before we actually start these halachos, I just have to remind ourselves that if there is something on the fire right now, if there's a pot of soup on the fire right now, on the hot plate, on the blech right now, a crock pot that's being heated right now, I'm never, under no circumstances, am I ever permitted to put something into it while it's on the flame. Even if it's fully cooked, and if what I'm putting in is already fully cooked, I'm still not allowed to put something onto a flame or into a pot that's on the flame. And that is very simply because what is somebody who's watching you from down the hall going to think? They don't know that it is cooked, it's not cooked, it's mevushal called sarko. They see you doing something that looks exactly like you said, it looks like you're cooking. So that's going to be a gzeirah d'rabbanan, not to put anything into something that's on the flame, that's near a kimavashel. So fine, you're not going to put your matzo ball into your soup while it's on the flame. You're going to take your pot of soup off, put it on the counter. Now you're going to put the matzo balls into the pot of soup. Is that okay? Yes, it is okay, because your matzo balls or your noodles were cooked before Shabbos. They were already cooked. And once they're cooked, you can't cook them again. They're cooked already. You can't kill a dead cat. So you're allowed to take these matzo balls that are already boiled and boil them once again in the pot of boiling hot soup that's off the flame on Friday night. The question is, how well done do your matzah balls have to be? Your noodles have to be al dente. Is that, did I pronounce that correctly? Al dente, something like that? It sounds like a Hebrew. Let's say your noodles are cooked and not yet al dente. Al dente, let's say, takes 10 minutes, right? So you cooked your noodles for only 6 minutes. They're a little hard. Are you allowed to put those noodles into the pot of soup? You know that by doing that, it's going to sort of finish off the cooking and get them to the al dente perfection that you're hoping to attain, right? Because let's get realistic. What happens if you take fully cooked noodles and you put them back into a pot of boiling hot soup? What's going to happen to the noodles? They'll be mushy. Nobody likes mushy noodles, right? We don't like mushy noodles. We like our consomme with vermicelli. Right, vermicelli. You're not going to be able to sell consomme with vermicelli if the vermicelli is mushy. So our question that we have to figure out right now is, let's say I have noodles, if they're fully cooked, so I can't cook a cooked noodle. So of course I can take a fully cooked noodle, put it in my pot of boiling hot soup, off the flame of course. That's mutter, because ein bishel achar bishel. Once the noodles have been fully cooked, nothing else is going to happen to them by putting them into a hot pot. But our question that we have to answer right now is, I have noodles that were not yet fully cooked. Or I have matzah balls that are not fully boiled, because I didn't want to boil them already, because I wanted them to taste fresher. So if I put that last kick of cooking them right as I serve them, it will be a little fresher, it will be a little fluffier maybe. Can I do that? So here we come to a very important machlokas. And this machlokas might shed light on what bishul really is. And that's why we're talking about this in our introduction. The Rambam writes that when am I allowed to do bishul achar bishul? When something is mevushal kol tzarko, if it's completely cooked. Let's explain what that means. I have my noodles that are completely, fully al dente cooked. Then, since it's fully cooked, what am I going to add by putting in a pot of soup? Nothing. I'm not making it cook anymore. Okay, says the Rambam, you're allowed to do that. You're not adding anything. But if it was only partially cooked, even if it was mostly cooked, let's say it was two-thirds cooked, three-quarters cooked, it just wasn't fully al dente cooked, well then, by putting in that pot of soup now, you're helping it reach its full cookedness, if we could term that word, put it in our Shank dictionary. You're helping it reach its full level of cookability, and that, the Rambam says, will be bishul. Because of that little bit that you're bringing it from, let's say, 75% cooked to 100% cooked. Let's pause here. That means the Rambam understands that cooking something means bringing something that's not fully cooked to make it fully cooked. And even that last 20% of cooking that you do, the last 25% of cooking that you do, will constitute a violation of cooking. Why is that important? Because there's somebody who says the opposite. The Rashba and others say that once something has reached Ma'achal Ben Jerusai, which we'll talk about in a moment, once something has reached Ma'achal Ben Jerusai, which is half cooked, let's say al dente takes 10 minutes. So once you cook those noodles for 5 minutes, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, you could put it in a pot of boiling soup. Even though what's going to happen in that pot of boiling soup? Of course, you took it off the flame, but what's going to happen sitting in that pot of boiling, bubbling soup off the flame? They're going to get cooked to 60%, 70%, 80%, 90% cooked to reach mevushal kol tzarko, fully cooked. And the Rashba says, that's okay. Let's pause for a minute, because this is going to tell us something very illuminating. How does the Rashba understand the halacha of cooking? He understands that, what is the definition of cooking? The definition of cooking is getting something non-edible to become ma'achal ben jerusai, otherwise known in English as edible. But once it's edible, that's called cooked. Once it's edible, meaning it reached ma'achal ben jerusai, which is half cooked, we'll talk about that in a moment, then the fact that you're bringing it from 50% cooked to 100% cooked, you're not adding anything. Yes, you're improving it, you're making it become fully cooked, but it's already edible. And what you're doing is not adding anything that is significant by making it become fully cooked. And therefore, this Rashba seems to be telling me that cooking in halacha is defined as making something that wasn't edible, edible. Once it is edible already, that's called cooked. It reached machal ben Jezari, it's called cooked, and I could go ahead and boil it on Shabbos. Even though it's going to reach 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100% fully cooked now on Shabbos, because it has already become edible at before Shabbos came in. So what we have here between these opinions is a fundamental disagreement as to what the word bishul means on Shabbos. According to the Rambam, who says that it has to be fully cooked before Shabbos. Once it's fully cooked, then you could leave it and you could put it in the pot. He holds that if it wasn't fully cooked, it was only 90% cooked, and you're making it become fully cooked, that's bishul. The Rashba says, that's not bishul. The Rashba says, as long as it's been, once something's been half-cooked, has reached machal ben jusai, and is edible, somebody could eat it, as we'll talk about in a moment, that already means that it's halachically cooked. And therefore, what you're adding more, you're making it taste better, you're making it be fully something or other, but you can't say you're cooking it, it has been cooked. And therefore, you will not be liable for making it reach levushal kol tzarko, according to this second opinion of the Rashba. I'll take questions on this in a moment, after we talk about what Machal ben Jusai is. Who was ben Jusai? Ben Jusai, I think we mentioned at the very end of last year, was a bandit. And what do bandits do? They eat on the run. What do you say?
On the go.
On the go. Yeah, that's just as good. Yeah, they eat on the go, they eat on the run. And what it really means, when Machal ben Jusai, so Mr. ben Jusai, or Mr. Jusai, who's Mr. son of Jusai, his father's name is Jusai, he was a bandit and he had to run away from the authorities, so he'd cook up his barbecue. The second the steak was just able to be eaten on the that first moment that the steak was just barely edible, he would eat it and run, so he wouldn't be caught. So what's the idea behind Machal ben Jusai? The idea there is making something that's raw, making it edible. That's what he had to do. He had to take this raw piece of meat, he can't eat raw meat, he has to eat it at the first possible point that it could become edible, which is, let's assume, the poskim say is 50% cooked. Now, I have to be honest, there are some Rishonim that say no, 33%, one-third cooked, already is considered to reach Ma'achal ben Jusai. And this halach of Ma'achal ben Jusai is going to come into play in lots of different permutations over the next few weeks. But once it reached that first level, that becoming edible, it's called cooked. And the Rashba said about this level, once it reached this level of a half-cooked, some Rishonim say a third-cooked, but we're machmer to assume that it has to be half-cooked, it's already cooked. Edible, you made something that wasn't edible, machal ben jusai. That means you made something that wasn't edible, now it's edible. That is called cooking. Once you did that, the Rashba says, you can go ahead and let it be in a pot of boiling soup and cook more and more and more and more, because it's already cooked. That is the opinion of the Rashba. We, I believe, paskin that in terms of this argument that something has to be fully cooked, or once it's half cooked, you could already put it in boiling water, that the noodles have to already have reached full al dente, full cooking, full mevushal kol tzarko status, fully cooked, if you want to put it back in your soup. So, halacha l'maisa, what are we coming out with? We're coming out with that if I want to put my noodles or my matzo balls in the pot of soup on Friday night, as I'm about to serve it to my guests, I have to make sure that the noodles have been fully cooked, fully al dente cooked, and the matzo balls have been fully cooked. And if they have been, then, halach l'maisa, I will be permitted to put it in the pot of boiling soup, of course, as long as it's off the fire. Now we'll take some questions about what we just discussed. Yes? That's a great question, because there's always a, you know, what's a steak that's fully cooked? Yeah, I would assume we'd follow Rov. Except when it comes to steaks, which is the way I like it. Medium well done. Okay? That's an excellent question, yeah. Oh, hold on one second. Meaning, if the package says 8 to 10 minutes, so if you happen to like it mushy at 12 minutes, you're not like everybody. Meaning the package also is taking that. Once it was 8 minutes or 8 to 10 minutes, you'd be able to put it back in, right? You happen to like 12 minutes, but you see from the package that, and the package is obviously putting what most people do. They did whatever market research they did before they put the number on the package. And they figure that most people like it 8 to 10 minutes. So that would probably be a good indication of what Rove people enjoy. Excellent question. You're asking, what about putting the finishing touch on something, which itself is a melacha, in any regard, any action that you do on Shabbos, if you put the finishing touch on something, that should be an independent melacha, regardless of cooking, not cooking, and building a house. So, I didn't see anybody ask that question. It's a great question. If I just have to think off the top of my head, I would assume that Makar B'Patish does not apply to cooking, because we have our own melacha. The melacha is called cooking. We just have to define what cooking is. So the Rashba tells us cooking is make something not edible to edible. Once you did that, you finished it. So now you're going to make it really, you know, fully cooked? Well, we're dealing with bishul now. Bishul happened already. And I guess just Makar B'Patish doesn't apply for it. I don't know. I have to look into that. Excellent question. Any other questions? Okay, so halacha l'maisa, make sure your noodles are fully al dente cooked before you put them, or your k'nei lech are fully cooked before you put them in. Now let's talk about croutons. And other things. We'll see another important application. Until now, we talked about putting something that was boiled. And again, I mentioned this last week, the word bishul, when we use it in the halachic sense, doesn't just mean cooked like we say in English. In English, the word cooked incorporates a lot of different types of cooking. In Hebrew, the word bishul is much more specified. The word bishul in Hebrew means boiled. We have bishul, which is boiled. We have ofui, ofa, to bake something. And then a synonym to bake something. Baking is done with dry heat. What's another way you could bake something with dry heat? You could barbecue it. That's called sli. Sli, barbecuing, and afia, baking, those are synonyms. Those two are as opposed to bishul, which is through wet heat, through boiling something in water. Okay? So now we're going to talk about, until now we talked about bishul, which is putting something that was boiled and now putting it back in hot water. That's what we just finished talking about. What I want to begin discussing now, is take my something that was baked, not boiled, something that was baked, like a piece of challah, a piece of matzah, and I want to put it into my soup. Did we begin speaking about this last week? No? Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about right now. Can I take my challah, or more importantly, my matzah on Seder night for all of those who don't, for all of us who do Ika Bracht, and the Chavetz Chaim says that to be makpid, not to Ika Bracht, is a violation of Simchas Yontif. So we all want to be very machmir in the halachas of Simchas Yontif, and okay, follow whatever your family does. But can I take my matzah and break it up into my hot soup, or is that a problem? I'm cooking the matzah. Well, wait a second. It was cooked already, right? It was cooked already, and now I'm just putting it in hot soup. I'm cooking it again. But I know once something is cooked, and it's fully cooked. I hope my matzah is fully cooked. If my matzah wasn't fully cooked, I have bigger problems. It might be chametz. So let's assume my matzah is fully cooked. And now I want to put it in my soup and let it cook more. Will that be okay? That is correct. You just took the whole punch out of... Right, so we're talking about Shabbos. Okay. We'll have to talk about Shabbos. Right. Seder night falls out on Shabbos. Thank you. I appreciate that. That is correct. You are all right. This past week... We had some people for we had my wife baked two challahs because our baking, we have a bread machine, and it has a capacity of about 1.5 pounds or 2 pounds, so we come with two challahs. You can't get more than that because the bread machine doesn't make more. And I think we're having guests for challah shudas. Some people were stuck in the neighborhood, so we had guests specifically for challah shudas, but our two challahs we knew wouldn't last till challah shudas. So I went to the store on Friday afternoon to get challahs at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, well before the kosher store closes, and they were out of challahs, because some people were stranded in the heights this Shabbos. So we had matzah for challah shudas. So you see, you could eat matzah even on, challah shudas, you don't have your chicken soup, but let's assume that you were having chicken soup Friday night. That is correct. So can I break my matzah into it? Can I dip my donuts in my coffee, otherwise known as, can I dunk my donuts? It's an important question. Shabbos morning, before you go to shul, many people have their donuts and their donuts and their coffee. What else do we have of things that are baked that then we put in our hot liquids? Okay, I have those salad croutons, Caesar salad croutons. I want to put those croutons in my soup. Same question, can I put them in the soup? That's what we're going to start talking about now. The category that this is called in halacha is the shaila of, is there bishul acharafiyah? Is there a problem of boiling? Is there a significance in boiling something after it has already been baked? Bishul acharafiyah. Is there bishul acharafiyah? Or do we say no? Once something has been baked, you've zapped it from any cookability that is potentially available in this substance, and anything more is just meaningless, because I baked it right. Nothing more could happen. Those are the two sides of the coin. So this all starts with something that's really nothing to do with Shabbos, nothing to do with the halachas of cooking. This really boils down to, no pun intended, or maybe yes pun intended, with the halachas of being yotzei, the mitzvahs aseid d'oraisa on the 15th night of Nisan, of achilas matzah. Can I be yotzei my mitzvah achilas matzah with a boiled matzah? Let's say my grandmother, when she was alive, would come to my seder, and her dentures are hurting. No way in the world she could chew a matzah. But if I boil it, and it'll be nice and soft and soggy, so even if her dentures are out, she could just, you know, sort of gum them, or you want your little baby, I don't know why, you have this, you're into like chinuch, and you want to start really young. So you have your toothless, or my son just lost his two front teeth. So he wants to fulfill the mitzvah. I have a mitzvah chinuch to make sure my 7-year-old eats matzah, but he can't chew it because he lost his teeth. Or there's a big fight in the playground, and somebody comes home with missing a few teeth, he can't chew his matzah. So could you boil the matzah? And they'll be yotzei with boiled matzah. What really is our question? Well, our question really is, did you do anything by boiling matzah? We know that matzah has to be baked. You bake matzah, you bake bread, you bake matzah. Now, if I boil it afterwards, did that change it? If you changed it, then you're in trouble. It's not matzah anymore. You can't fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. But if you assume that once it's been baked, you did everything that you can do, and halachically, anything you do after this is meaningless, so I could boil it, but it's matzah, and it's going to be matzah forever. And therefore, if I boil it, what am I boiling? I'm boiling matzah, and it stays to be matzah. And I could fulfill my mitzvah with this. That's where the question begins, in Hilchos Pesach. And there, in Hilchos Pesach, in Pesachim, there's an opinion in the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi, who says, no, you cannot fulfill your mitzvah of Leil Seder. Your grandmother is just going to have to suffer through chewing this hard, crunchy matzah. You don't fulfill the mitzvah with boiled matzah. Why not? So one explanation that we alluded to a moment ago is that because when you boil it, you're changing it. The other explanation is going to be because when you boil something, it loses the flavor of matzah. Where do we know the halacha that matzah has to have a certain flavor that we don't want to lose? Where do we know from Hilchos Seder that we don't want to lose the flavor of our matzah? You can't have dessert after you have what we call the afikoman matzah, the last matzah. You can't have a jelly roll, potato starch jelly roll, at the end of your Seder, because the jelly in the roll is going to knock out the flavor of the matzah. So we're worried, we want you to have the flavor of matzah in your mouth. Similarly, if you have one way of understanding why you can't be yotzei, why my grandmother can't be yotzei, achilas matzah with boiled matzah, is because once you boil it, it loses its flavor. Nothing to do with the halacha. Is it considered cooking? Is it not considered cooking? The Torah says eat matzah. This doesn't have, you need the flavor of matzah. Once you boil it, after it's been baked, now you're going to boil it for your grandmother's dentureless teeth, it no longer has the flavor of matzah. Those are two ways. Again, Rabbi Yossi says that you do not fulfill the mitzvah of achilas matzah with boiled matzah, either because you're cooking it and cooking changes what it used to be. That means there is cooking. Cooking is serious. Cooking counts after afiyah. Or the reason why you can't fulfill the mitzvah of achilas matzah with boiled matzah is because you're changing its flavor. Now, with that as background, let's come to Hilchos Shabbos. In Hilchot Shabbos, there's a sefer called the Re'eim, Rabbi Lezer Mimetz, and the Re'eim writes that the way he understands the halacha that we just said, he said, hey, why does Rabbi Yossi say that you can't fulfill the mitzvah of achilas matzah with boiled matzah? It must be because you're boiling it. What do you mean? But it's been baked already. Yeah, it was baked. Now you're boiling. B-A-K-E-D. It's not the same as B-O-I-L-E-D. They're two different words. They're two different words. They're two different actions. They're two different experiences that this dough undergoes. So you baked it. That was nice. Now you boiled it. You changed it from what it was. And that's why you can't fulfill the mitzvah of achilas matzah on Leil Pesach, according to Rabbi Yossi. What is the Re'eim saying? The Re'eim is saying that the reason... I'm sorry. The Re'eim is saying that if you boil something after it's been baked, that is changing it. That is changing. You know how you're changing it? You're cooking. You're cooking. It was baked before. Now you're cooking it. Cooking. You're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. So according to this, let's just apply all of our questions to the logic we just said. If you have something that's baked, you're not allowed to boil it afterwards because you're cooking it. So therefore, if I have a matzah in Hilchos Pesach, I have matzah. Once I cook it, it's no longer matzah anymore. It used to be baked matzah. Now it's boiled, I don't know, matzah mush. And coming to where we are, I want to eat my Dunkin' Donuts. Again, we're going to get into details later, but just offhand, I can't, if I dunk my donut in my coffee, let's assume my coffee is going to be mevashel. It's hot enough to be mevashel. We'll talk about that later. So, you're cooking, you're boiling your donut. Donut's not a good example, because donuts, anyone who knows how to manufacture donuts knows that real donuts are boiled in oil, right? So that would be bishlam. Okay, which kind of donuts? Okay. Let's say they were baked donuts. The ones we have here in Shul Entimins are probably baked. Yeah, those are baked donuts. So, everything's good. Good. Okay, so they were baked, and now you're boiling it. So I can't dunk my donuts. And I want to put those Caesar salad croutons in my soup. I can't do that because I'm cooking something that was baked before. Of course, a knedel or noodles which were boiled before, I could boil again because once you cook it, it's already cooked. But here, before it was baked, now I'm cooking. They're two different things, and that will be a problem. That was the opinion of the Re'eim. Come some other Rishonim. The Ra'avya. Ra'avya comes and says, no. You have this whole picture skewed entirely. In Hilchos Pesach, you know why your grandmother can't have that mush? Because there's no flavor of matzah. You're not cooking anything once it's been baked. Once it's been baked, you did everything to this dough that you could do. You baked it. It's now lost all of its cooking ability, that was whatever cookability energy that was extant in this dough has been zapped out of it. It's now cookability list. We'll write a little dictionary at the end of this year. There's nothing more you can do. It's been baked. You did everything that there is to do. And that's why, and therefore, why can't your grandmother be yotze with cooked matzah? Cooking was meaningless. It's already the cooking doesn't do anything after you baked it. It's just it doesn't have the flavor of matzah which you need. Like ein maftir nachar pesach afikoman. According to this logic, when you boil something after it's been baked, are you doing anything? You're not doing anything at all. It's meaningless to boil something halachically meaningless to boil something after it's been baked. Once you baked it, that took you got out everything that you could do with the dough halachically. There's nothing more to do in the eyes of halacha. And therefore, you will be permitted to boil something that has been previously baked because the boiling that you're doing in this second stage is halachically meaningless because you did everything there was to do by baking it in the first stage. Accordingly, according to this, I could dunk my donuts in my coffee because they were baked already. Now, by dunking them in the hot coffee, it's not doing anything. By breaking my matzah into my soup, I'm not doing anything halachically right now. There's no halachic bishul here because it lost all of its bishability, cookability, bakeability. It lost all of that ability when I baked it the first place. When I want to take my Caesar salad croutons, put it in my soup also, I already finished whatever I could do with it when I baked it the first time. Now that I'm putting the soup, there's nothing wrong with that. So these are two opinions. The machlokas, rishonim, whether or not there is significance to the bishul that comes after an afiyah. In other words, is there yesh bishul achar afiyah, or is there no bishul achar following afiyah? How do we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch, and of course Shin Yud Ches 318 Sif Hey, 318.5, brings both opinions. Comes the Rama and says that we are noheg to be machmir not to put bread into hot liquids. What do I mean by hot? That the Yatzla Dispo. We are machmir not to put baked items. We're machmir for the more stringent opinion that is concerned that there will be a significance to bishul, even though something has already been baked. That means lemaisa, we are choshesh, we are concerned that yesh bishul achar afiyah. But this Rama takes this step further. Not only are we concerned about this in a kli rishon, with the pot of soup that you took off the flyer that's sitting on the counter, that pot of soup, not only am I not allowed to put croutons, baked croutons, not only am I not allowed to put, break some matzah into that pot of soup, but even in a klisheni, we're not allowed to put this baked items, because as we're going to talk about either the end of today or probably next week, a klisheni usually is not. Halachically, the Gemara says klisheni doesn't cook, but we're not really sure if that's true. Meaning there are some things that a klisheni could cook, and we'll talk about a klisheni later, but there's some things that do cook in a klisheni, and we just don't know what does cook, what doesn't cook in a klisheni, and therefore we avoid putting things that might cook into a klisheni. So therefore, I have my urn of hot water on Shabbos. I put a cup underneath it, and I press the berez, the faucet, the spout, and hot water goes into my cup. What am I holding? A klisheni. Halacha l'maisa, am I allowed to dunk my donut into that, my baked donut, my Entenmann's donut, into that coffee? No. I am not. I am not permitted to put my Dunkin' Donut, my Dunkin' Donuts, they might fry, my Entenmann's donut into that klisheni. Case two, I have a pot of soup, which is a kli rishon, off the fire, of course. I spill it into my bowl. My bowl is now what? A klisheni. Can I break my matzah into that bowl of soup? I cannot. Can I put Caesar salad croutons into that bowl of soup? I cannot. Why? Because the Shulchan Aruch paskened in 318.5 that we are concerned that yesh bishul achar afiyah, even in a klish, not only in a kli rishon, but even in a klisheni, we're worried that it might cook even though it has already been baked. And that is the halacha l'maisa. One more application. This I saw, where did I see it? I don't remember where I saw it. Roasted coffee. Oh, roasted. What does roasted mean? Bake, roast, barbecue. It does, barbecued coffee doesn't work. But yeah, I mean, that is one and the same. It's cooking something with dry heat. That's roasting. So that means the coffee that I get, when I buy roasted coffee, Folgers or whatever other, again, not coffee that was boiled and then dry, not like instant coffee, because that was boiled and then dried out. That was boiled already. That might be different. That would be a question of bishul, achar bishul. Let's not talk about that now. Roasted coffee, that means it was dried with heat. Can I now put it into this klisheni? No, because we're worried that the thing that was roasted is now going to get more further processed with the bishul that I'm about to do. But, life is not as bleak as it seems. Life is not as bleak as it seems, because we're going to explain right now that really, 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 we could figure out a way to have you put your croutons and your broken matzah into your bowl of soup. How so? Ladle. Right, I was very careful when I said before that you poured the soup into the bowl, so the bowl's a klisheni. However, most of us don't pour soup into bowls. Most of us use ladles. And therefore, when you use a ladle, well, the pot of soup was that, which is the thing that was on the fire, as we're going to learn later, is a kli rishon. I lift up in the ladle, that's a kli sheni. I put it in my bowl, that's a kli shlishi. Kli shlishi already, that doesn't have the ability to cook. I know that kli shlishis can't cook things. But wait a second. Is a ladle really a kli sheni? That's a gigantic, gigantic, humongous machlokas. Whether or not a ladle, that intermediary ladle, is considered an independent kli and knocks you down one notch, or it doesn't count because it was just, just transferred from one to the other. Maybe the pot is kli rishon and the bowl is a kli sheni, even with a ladle. That's a big machlokas. But you know what else is a machlokas? What? We're not going to talk about that. That would be more complicated, right? The whole question that we're discussing right now is a machlokas. Is there bishul achar afiyah or not? Do I have to be worried about cooking something, boiling something, after it was baked? That itself is a machlokas. So I have one machlokas, whether or not there's even anything to discuss. If I boil something that's been baked, is that aser? It might be mutter, it might be aser. Even if you say it's aser, there's another machlokas. Maybe the ladle that brings my soup from the pot to the bowl is a second step. It's a kli shlishi. Makes the bowl bowl of the soup a kli shlishi. So I have a double machlokas here. And just to add fuel to the fire, the very question of is bread something that's so sensitive that could cook in anything less than a kli rishon? Meaning, could bread even cook in a kli sheni? Forget about kli sheni. Maybe bread doesn't cook in a kli sheni. Maybe bread is hard enough that it needs kli rishon to cook in. I have so many question marks in this scenario that the Shri Shabbos Kilchasa says we could be mako. Putting together all of our sveikos together, we could come out with a kula if we want to have our matzah broken into our soup. Again, what are our tzadim for it to be mako? Maybe there's a whole machlokas where there's a problem of cooking something, boiling something after it was baked. We're machmir. There's another machlokas whether the ladle gets me knocks me down a notch in terms of being considered a kli sheni so that my bowl be a kli shlishi. It's machlokas. Usually we're machmir. But here, I'm not going to be machmir on this, and machmir on that, and machmir. If I put everything together, I have a suffix on a suffix on a suffix, and therefore, halacha l'maisa, baruch Hashem, I can put my Caesar salad croutons into my soup, my bowl of soup that I put there with a ladle, and I can put my broken matzah into my soup if I got the soup there with a ladle, and I could put my challah into my bowl of soup if I got it there with a ladle, even if the soup in my bowl is Yad Saladis bowl, piping, piping hot, it will still be mutter. According to the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa's compilation of all these different sveikos. Now, just before I end, I will say, just to be intellectually honest, that he doesn't just say the word mutter. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa wrote his sefer very carefully, very exceedingly carefully, and he says, Yesh Makom Lahakel. So, in my mind, that sounds like, if you really like it, go for it. If you don't really like it, so, avoid it. Yes, questions? Already baked. Yes. If it's already cooked, then we don't have to talk about it. That is correct. We did not talk about fresh herbs, or black pepper, for example. That we didn't speak about yet. That'll be next year. Before I leave this question, one more point. The reason why I've been saying for the past 5 minutes Caesar salad croutons is because I want to distinguish between Caesar salad croutons and the small yellow soup mandolin croutons, the ones that look like they were radioactive, that yellow, that bright yellow, that have like lots of MSG in them. They're delicious. So those, B'Shmish Haskel Chatzah brings from Shlomo Zalman, those have been deep fried. So deep frying is bishul, is boiling in a liquid. So ein bishul achar bishul. Just like I could put my knedel in my hot soup, so too I could put my al dente noodles in my hot soup, so too I could put these croutons in my hot soup. And in fact, if I want to put those croutons, again, assuming that they're boiled, they're deep fried, which I think they are, if I want to put them in soup, I could even put them in the hot pot of soup, off the flame, of course, into the hot pot itself. Because it's been boiled already, ein bishul achar bishul, I'm not halachically doing anything more by putting them right now into this pot of soup. And that's why I was careful to distinguish between the different kinds of croutons. And therefore, those croutons are not a shayla that we're discussing of, is there bishul achar afia or not? Because that's mutter because of ein bishul achar bishul. Aliza. If the klisheni is not yatzlodesbo, then you can't cook in lukewarm water. Anything that's lukewarm, you can do whatever you want with it. So as we mentioned earlier today and last week, 110 degrees is very low. I assume that the soup that you get, again, if not after waiting for 5 minutes, but when you're served soup, I would venture to say that it's probably about 140, 150 degrees. I'd venture to say. Maybe 130, but definitely 110. After a few minutes, it might not be, but yeah.
What about regular frying?
Okay, so if I'm not mistaken, the poskim say that if it's deep fried, that's considered bishul. If it's not deep fried, that will be equivalent to afia. That's considered dry cooking, and that will be the same as afia, tzli, roasting, barbecuing, baking. Okay. Yeah, Tamar?
Also, I'm just thinking about this coffee and donuts thing in my mind. I'm just
sorry.
Terrified. No, it's okay. It's not such a common example, because your coffee isn't going to be a cliche.
Right, usually you can make your coffee in a cliche anyway.
So just like to clarify, because I was thinking...
But again, that takes away the whole punch of that type
of stuff.
No,
I just want people to walk away thinking that, because usually your coffee is in a cliche.
Right, so if you're making coffee in a cliche, then anyway, you're good to... Right, that is correct. Then you could dunk your donuts in a cliche. Right, I don't want to say that, it takes away the excitement of what I'm saying. Right, that is correct. I did want to say that. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. Now that we got through Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, and we got through a machlokas whether Yesh Bishul Achar Afia, now we have to talk about the third and final category in this discussion, which is the most applicable area of discussion. And that's the question of, is there Bishul Achar Bishul Bilach, with liquids? What does that mean? It means you have... Let's start with the knedel. Knedel was boiled. Where is it now? It's in a Tupperware container in the refrigerator. So we said that I could take that knedel out of the Tupperware container from the fridge and drop it into my pot of boiling hot soup. Mutter lechatchila. What happens if I have a liquid in the refrigerator? A little bit of soup. Or let's say I have some soup from last Shabbos, and I don't want to throw it out, but I'm not going to just eat it. I just want to put that soup from last Shabbos from the refrigerator and put it into this week's Friday night soup. So there, I'm boiling up again. Again, if I put something into a pot of boiling soup, that's going to cause bishul. The soup is yatz lodesbo. So anything you put into something that's yatz lodesbo will cook, unless it was already cooked. So here, can I cook this soup in this hot pot of soup right now? In other words, if something was heated, if a liquid was heated and now is no longer hot, can I heat it up again? So, I'm sure you all have your, oh, definitely yes or definitely no in your minds. It actually is going to be a machlokas in the Rishon. The Rush in Maseches Shabbos, Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Aleph, 3:11, writes that the whole kula, the whole leniency that we say, you could put the knedel into the soup, that's only because the knedel is a dry object. It's a davar yavesh. It's dry. But if you would want to put a liquid into hot soup, does that happen ever? When do we ever put liquids into hot soups? What?
Ice.
But there, that's not going to enter this discussion because ice was never cooked before. So of course that will be a problem. Because we'll talk about putting it once it's in the bowl, that might be a different question. But right now, when talking about the bowl of the pot of soup, putting ice will be bishul mida araisa. Can you imagine that? Put a thing of ice in the bowl in the hot pot of soup, that'll be bishul mida araisa. So we're not talking about ice. When do I put liquids into a pot of soup? Yeah? So I take the cheesecake that's not yet cooked, I pour it into my chicken soup. I didn't get that. What? So I have, that's true, excellent. So when they manufactured the, let's talk about Coffee Rich. Can we talk about Coffee Rich? Makes it easier for me. Can we talk about Coffee Rich? When they manufactured Coffee Rich, they boiled it. So it's something that has been boiled. I want to pour that Coffee Rich into my cream of mushroom soup, my hot cream of mushroom soup. Great. I'm thinking of something much more common. Aliza. Pouring milk into coffee is still a cliché. Yeah, if it's still hot enough, it's a cliché. And you want to pour some milk into it. The milk, let's say, was pasteurized. Perhaps it might have been boiled already, maybe. Well, we could talk about that. Yeah?
Maybe sometimes people put water into soup if it's been evaporated.
Right.
Kind of want it to, like,
well, if that water hasn't yet been boiled, it's going to be the same thing as ice. That's definitely going to be Bishul D'Oraisa. So we need to find something that has been boiled already. And now I'm going to say, oh, maybe I could put it back in, because in Bishul Achar Bishul, it was boiled already, so it's okay for me to put this thing that was previously cooked into something that is cooking now. It's more common than any of you are thinking, yes.
Isn't that chicken broth?
Can I have chicken broth? That's going to be like the Coffee Rich scenario. Much more common than that. Yes. What?
Like tea sense?
Tea sense. You're putting something that was boiled, and you're putting it into, yeah, something even more common than that. That's true. That will probably, we'll probably spend a half a shear on tea in a few weeks. Yeah? Excellent. I did that a few weeks ago. So you're saying, no, but that, you're right. That is exactly what we're talking about. But there, it's boiling hot water, putting it into boiling hot chalin. So you're not cooking anything. The water's already boiling. So you're not doing anything. I'm talking about taking something that's not hot, liquid that's not hot right now, that's not yet solid, but that fell below the yet solid as well, and putting it in, wanting to put it in my soup. That's more common than that. Even though I did do it a few weeks ago. Rivka? Thank you very much. You're spooning out you're ladling out your soup. You take the ladle, you put it into this bowl. You take the ladle, you put it into this bowl. You take the ladle, you put it into this bowl. You take the ladle, and oh my gosh, you need another bowl. Or okay, you spill it into this bowl, and now you're looking for another bowl. So you're holding the ladle, and you go to the cabinet. You take the ladle, and you go to the cabinet, and you find another bowl, and you put it down, and by the time you put this ladle back into the soup, that little bit of liquid that's on the bottom of your ladle is no longer your Yatzlodes bowl. Because there wasn't much there anyway. So what are you now going to do? You're going to take, or better yet, you serve soup to your 15 guests. And there's always that annoying guy who always invites himself last minute to your meals. And he says, oh wow, this is really delicious. Could I have another bowl? So you who just sat down after serving 15 bowls said, oh certainly, I'd be happy to. And you go back to the kitchen, and 3 minutes after you just left the kitchen serving all those people, and you get him another bowl of soup, and lo and behold, you're going to take that ladle that has a little bit of liquid on the bottom that has been previously cooked but is no longer hot, and you're going to dip it back into a hot pot of soup that's Yatz Lettuce Bowl? Is that Bishul D'Oraisa? Have we all violated an Issur D'Oraisa of Bishul whenever we serve that? That's a good reason not to invite that guy again. He caused me to violate a Bishul D'Oraisa. I think that's pretty common. I think that's very common. What else? Do we have any other good examples? Yeah, another good example. Yeah. Okay, you just had a cup of coffee and you thought it would do the job, and it didn't do the job yet. You need another little help. So you have your cup of coffee, which is, well, there's still a little bit of liquid on the bottom, tea, hot water, coffee, whatever it is, that's no longer Yatz Lettuce Bowl because it already got to the bottom of your cup. And now you want to fill up again. So you go to the urn, your pump pot, your whatever it is, your kettle, and you pour water into Iri from a Kli Rish, and that's definitely cooked. That's definitely Yatz Lettuce Bowl, and it's definitely Mevashel on a Doraisa level, onto your cold liquid. Yeah, the liquid was cooked once before because it was previously boiled, but now it's cool. So you're boiling cold water. So that's, these are very, 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 so what we're going to talk about now is more common than anything we've discussed until now. That's the shaila of, is there bishul achar bishul bidavar lach, with a liquid? Now that we realize how like serious this, you know, these issues are, we'll appreciate a little bit more as we go through seeing the different sides of the coin. And the sides of the coin will be probably a little bit more complicated than we've seen until now, because until now we had a machlokas and we were just machmir. Now we're going to have machlokas, and then it's going to be after machlokas a third opinion. And that third opinion, there'll be two ways to understand it, but it's going to be easy as pie. Go, join me. It's going to be easy as pie. You'll see. Watch it. Watch this. There's a machlokas whether we're worried about bishul achar bishul with liquids. Meaning, Rashi writes that anything that is a liquid can is subject to be cooked again. If something is a solid, doing bishul on it again doesn't accomplish anything. If somebody's something's a liquid, then when you cook it again, that will violate bishul. Comes the Ran and says, what do you mean? We have a halacha. Ein bishul achar bishul. Ein bishul achar bishul means once you cook something, cooking doesn't happen a second time. If you have, let me ask you a question. If you have a pot of soup, right? How do you make soup? You take water, you take some spices, you take some vegetables, you take either chicken, a cube of chicken broth or the mix of chicken broth or actually, you know, chicken in the olden days, and you make chicken soup. Now, before you cook it, what do you have? Do you have chicken soup or you have water with spices and vegetables? Before you cook it, you had water with spices and vegetables. After you cook it, what do you have? Chicken soup. Okay, that was last week. Now it's been sitting in your fridge all week. What do you have in your fridge that's cold? Do you have water with spices and vegetables? No, you have cold chicken soup. So it's still chicken soup, isn't it? It started not chicken soup. It turned, when you cooked it, it turned into chicken soup, and it stayed chicken soup. So says the Ran, once it's chicken soup. I don't care if it's hot chicken soup or cold chicken soup. Just like I don't care if it's a hot knedel or a cold knedel. Or a hot noodle or a cold noodle. A noodle's been cooked, it's now a noodle. This chicken soup has been cooked, it's now chicken soup. I don't care if it has been cooked before, if you're going to heat it up again or not heat it up again, it's already been cooked. What more are you doing? Just like we say ein bishul achar bishul by knedels and by noodles, so too ein bishul achar bishul by liquids. And therefore the Ran is of the opinion that if you want to cook a liquid a second time, it is mutter. And guess who paskens like that? The Shulchan Aruch. No, I'm sorry, the Shulchan Aruch goes the other way. Oops. The Shulchan Aruch says we don't pass like that, that if something has a liquid, we are worried that it will be cooked. There will be, we are choshes that yesh bishul achar bishul for a liquid. And therefore, if you have soup that is cold, you cannot put it into back into the soup pot. If you have a ladle and the liquid on that ladle has gotten below Yad Seledis, below 100 and whatever degrees, you can't put it back into the pot of soup. What will you have to do according to the Shulchan Aruch? You have to dry it off first, take a paper towel, dry off my ladle, and then put it back to get those seconds. That's what the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch is machmir. So if there are any Sfaradim here, you have to live with a chumrah. Usually it's the other way. But this one is good for Sfaradim. Comes the Ramah and says something that's very interesting. The Ramah gives me a compromise. Right now we have machlokas, whether or not there is significance to cooking previously cooked liquids. Comes the Ramah and says, he doesn't say which position he holds like, but you know what he tells me? He says, let's do a little bit of a compromise. If it's still warm, then you could put it back in the soup. If it's not warm, then you can't put it back in the bowl, in the pot of soup. Let me tell you his words, because his words are important. The Shulchan Aruch just said that if something's a liquid, then we're not going to be able to cook it again. Comes the Ramah and says in Shin Yud Ches 15, V'nagu l'hakel im lo nitanein legamrei, if it didn't get fully cold. It didn't get fully cold. It didn't cool off completely. So it really depends on how soon that annoying, you know, that guy who came to the meal, you know, invited himself last minute, how soon after you finished ladling out the first bowls did he ask for that second bowl? If it was 15, 20 minutes later, and whatever was in the ladle is nitzani in legamrei, nitzani means it got cold. It's got completely cold. It's just like, there's no heat in it anymore. Then I'm not going to be able to take that ladle and put it into the pot of soup. I'm going to have to dry it out. If, however, he just asked 3 or 4 minutes after I finished ladling, there's still heat in that soup that's in that ladle, that little bit of soup on the bottom of the ladle, then the Ramah is Mekel against the Shulchan Aruch, who says, no, it's not Yatz Lodes Bo, you're going to cook it by putting it into the soup. It's going to be Bishul by putting it back into the soup pot. Comes the Ramah and says, as long as it's a little bit warm, you can put it back into the soup. That will not be considered cooking it again. Now here, we're going to finish with this. I don't know if we're going to finish with this. We have to understand, what is Rama saying? Rama is saying that if it's a little bit warm, then you could put it into soup. If it's cold, everyone agrees. I'm sorry. If it's cold, Rama says it's aser. If it's a little bit warm, then you could put it in the soup. Who is he holding like in this compromised shita? There were two opinions before. Before the Ramah came around, there were two opinions. One person said that if you take a chicken soup and it's cooked already, it's now chicken soup, so it stays chicken soup forever. And even if it's cold from the refrigerator, you could put it straight into your hot boiling soup. Because it's been cooked already. It is chicken soup ready. What are you doing by putting it in a hot pot again? It's already chicken soup. The other opinion, which the Shulchan Aruch Paskin like, said no. Anything that's in the fridge, any liquid in the fridge, if you put it into a pot of boiling water, you're making it cook, you're making it boil. That's asa daraisa, possibly, probably. That's going to cause bishul. Yesh bishul achar bishul, if it's lach. And then the Ramah has this middle opinion, this compromise opinion, and says, well, if it's a little bit warm, you could. If it's cold, then you can't. I don't understand. Am I allowed to put liquids that were cooked in a boiling pot, or I can't? Here, we go into a machlokas, what this Ramah means, and God willing, next week, we'll try to figure out what the halachas are going to come out from, we're going to understand why the Ramah is compromising like this, and based on that, we're going to come to understand what the halachas will be with putting your ladle back in. Do you have to dry out your cup? Do you have to dry out your bowl when you want to take a second bowl of soup? That, God willing, will be at the very beginning of next week. Perfect.